WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The CDC's confirmed a second case of a bird flu in a person, this one in Michigan, and like the prior case in Texas, the patient, a farm worker, as bird flu moves through dairy cattle. The symptoms are mild, and officials say there is still a low risk to the public. A hearing in former President Trump's classified documents case grew heated. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says the judge was being asked to dismiss the case.
The attorney for Trump body man Walt Nauta argued his client was being punished for his failure to cooperate with the investigation. Prosecutor David Harbaugh called that a garbage argument. Nauta is accused of helping move documents around Mar-a-Lago after investigators came calling. Never-before-seen security images of Nauta with boxes in hand were unsealed in court papers this week.
As President Biden hosts the president of Kenya, a federal judge in California has granted his son Hunter's request to delay his federal tax trial to September. His trial on gun charges is still set for next month. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. People across Wisconsin are waking up to power outages, downed trees, and other storm damage. In the Madison area, more than 40,000 people lost power. In Green Bay, roofs were ripped off buildings. A few thousand are without power this morning in the Eau Claire area. This list just goes on and on. While there were tornado warnings throughout the evening, straight-line winds are often responsible for the majority of this kind of damage. You'll want to leave yourself extra time as you drive the kids to school or head into work. And the Poet Laureate of the United States will be here in Wisconsin Thursday. Ada Limon was given the title in 2022. This is part of a series hosted by the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. She'll be speaking at the Overture Center's Playhouse at 7, and tickets are still available. If you're not near Madison, there are watch parties statewide in Ashland, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, Verona, and Viroqua. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Three Richland Center High School students won the 16th annual statewide Whipping Up Wellness competition. Will Bailing, Shanice Anderson, and Keegan Gwynn competed in the finalist cook-off competition at Madison Area Technical College Thursday. Whipping Up Wellness is a competition sponsored by the Department of Public Instruction in which teams of middle and high school students develop a nutritious, student-friendly recipe that can be incorporated easily into the school food service program. Student recipes had to meet federal nutrition guidelines and be easily mass-produced. The RCHS team's original recipe was a taco calzone served with melon salsa, which will be shared with food service directors of districts across the state. The students practiced cooking the meal for the RCH students the week prior, serving the calzone and salsa for lunch. Many RCHS staff members supported the student group in their endeavor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A full house for Packers OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers, with nearly perfect attendance for voluntary organized team practices, Matt LaFleur asked how much credit should be given to Jordan Love for being present despite he has not been offered a new contract yet.
It's everything to us. I think if you look at our attendance here, and you know, we've had almost 100% the entire offseason, which has been the best that we've had since I've been here. And I always think that when you look around the league, when your quarterback's there, just naturally has a way of attracting everybody to come.
Jordan Love says he's working on being a vocal leader.
Talk to guys more, being in guys' ear a little bit more, and just trying to focus on being a better leader. Get with these relationships with guys in here, it gets easier.
Baseball, the Brewers came back to win 7-5 last night in Miami. It seemed as if the crew had a lot of leadoff batters get on base.
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams did today, to be honest with you. And we had opportunities, and you can't squander those opportunities usually and win.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the low 50s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, maybe a late day storm and a high in the mid 70s. More rain possible Thursday night and Friday. The wind starts to pick up as well. It cools down to the low 70s for a high. Currently it's 72 degrees.
Matt Mann. Tamir on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamirius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we welcome Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project in, looking at the day's headlines and also what's ahead for the Republican and Democratic state conventions. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the center, WRCE.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. And Dom, I've got a lead for this hour, but I feel like we've got to let the new joiners in on what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the hush money trial, the voter deception trial, and the fact that Trump is charged with 34 felonies, and that is because he covered up the payments to Stormy Daniels. And I don't think there is doubt in the panel about whether or not that's been proven. Is there a doubt? There's no contention over that point. The contention I have with you, apparently opinion-wise, Dom, is whether or not the other crime, the thing that bumps it from a misdemeanor to a felony, has been proven. And if you, and I'm sure you've looked this up, Dom, the lawyers, the prosecution, stated that there was a federal crime that basically Trump broke federal campaign laws, right? Isn't that what's being alleged? And it's not up to the prosecution to specifically prove that crime, because that crime is not charged in the state courts. But they do have to somehow put a bow on this, make the jury understand that this is involved. This is why these misdemeanors become felonies. And I'm not sure that they've effectively proven the federal crime.
Well, I'm not. Okay, let's back up a minute. Michael Cohen went to jail, right?
Yes.
And for one of the reasons he went to jail was for campaign finance violations, correct?
I would need clarity on that.
Yes. The Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971, right? The Election Act regulates the influence of money in politics at all times relevant to the information the Election Act set forth in the following limitations, prohibitions, and reporting requirements that were applicable to Michael Cohen, the defendant, individual one, and his campaign. Now, this is the actual court document. This is the original United States District Court, Southern District of New York charging document against Michael Cohen. List out, you know, the first five, you know, bank and those kinds of things, counts one through five, evasion of assessment of income tax liability, false statements to a bank. What else are there? False statements, more false statements to banking, and they get down to the campaign finance violations.
Okay, clarify that point, please.
Individual contributions to any presidential candidate, including expenditures coordinated with the candidate or his political committee, are limited to $2,700 per the election, and presidential candidates and their committees prohibited from accepting contributions from individuals in excess of this limit. Corporations are prohibited from making contributions directly to presidential candidates. On or about, June 16th of 2015, individual one, Trump, began his presidential campaign. While Michael Cohen, the defendant, continued to work at the company, did not have a former title, but he had an email address with the campaign. At all times relevant, a corporation won the media company. Now, this is the catch and kill portion of it. The magazine, the chairman, we know this now, Pecker, worked with Cohen to catch and kill these deals. Consistent with your agreement between Peckerman and Cohen and the defendant, negative stories during the course of the campaign, Cohen, with the assistance of Pecker, was able to arrange for the purchase of two stories to suppress them from and prevent them from influencing the election. Knowing the story would be of considerable value because of the election, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Election. So Michael Cohen went to jail in part because of federal election campaign violations. He did that as a proxy for Donald Trump. So, and Donald Trump reimbursed him plus for that. And then, you know, yeah, Cohen took another 30 or 60 grand on top of that.
And
he's a proxy. If Michael Cohen, the attorney, the fixer, the proxy, went to jail for that crime, isn't that then the crime? That's the underlying crime. Yes. Election violation. Dude went to jail for it already, man.
Well, he pled guilty to a multitude of crimes. And I don't doubt your rationale, your reasoning, but this is not the Michael Cohen trial. This is the Donald Trump trial. Certainly. And the prosecution has to prove that Donald Trump committed these same acts, same crimes.
Yes.
Well, we know that Cohen and Pecker did the catch and kill on what's-her-face, Karen McDougal, the playmate. And we know that Pecker killed the doormans, the
$30,000. $30,000 doorman, correct, yes.
And Michael Cohen put up $130,000, which he allegedly was reimbursed for, which he, you know, depending on whether or not you believe the story. But guess what? None of those people are Donald Trump specifically. They're David Pecker and they're Michael Cohen that made those specific deals. Now, you've got to make some leap from, well, of course, they were doing so for the boss, right?
Of course.
Of course, that would be our logical conclusion. But how do you bridge that gap? How do you make that stick? How do you make it believable that this was not the independent act?
You talked about the specific concerns they had about the election. You bring in Hope Hicks. You bring in David Pecker. You bring in the financial records. You bring in the record where the CFO says this is how it's breaking down.
Was the CFO in court? I didn't see.
He was not. No,
I didn't see him. I didn't see Keith Schiller. In fact, I didn't see anyone clearly tie Donald Trump to that specific crime, except for Michael Cohen, who got caught in a lie, perhaps, and certainly confessed to stealing through the very same transaction.
But that's irrelevant to the case. The only thing that would happen to do is maybe the jury would.
I just don't think they proved it, Dom.
That they would consider that when they judge his character.
I don't think they've proven that beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 jurors.
Now you're going into your opinion of what you don't think they've proven. Your question was, what is the underlying crime that makes two separate misdemeanors
that they've proven
into a felony? The underlying crime, of course, Cody, is the campaign finance violation, the very crime that Cohen already went to jail for. So, yes, it is a crime to do those things. He went to jail for it. Donald Trump did those things through Pecker and Cohen. Not what you have to prove. You got to prove the link between Donald Trump, Pecker and Cohen, and all the other people involved.
What about John Edwards? He was convicted on this, right? No, he was not. He was vindicated on this very same set of allegations.
John Edwards, not Donald Trump and Pecker and Cohen. You talk about who's not who. We're talking about this case. And now, so my answer to you is Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971. That's what was violated. That's what Cohen went to jail for. That is the underlying crime that allows for the bump up to the felony. Now, you can argue about whether or not the prosecutor did a fine job in articulating the circumstances in which Donald Trump engaged and helped to make this happen, and that's for the jury to decide. But now you have your answer. You're welcome.
It's an insufficient answer. It doesn't it's an non-convincing answer.
I went to jail for it, man. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm convinced Cohen's guilty. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Gerald, I understand you're an attorney, sir, and I suspect you have an opinion. Let us have it.
Yeah.
Hello, Gerald.
My opinion is that Dom is correct and you don't understand the case. With all due respect, this involves not federal election fraud law, but New York State election fraud law. That's the difference between this and the Cohen case.
But, Gerald, my understanding is that's not what is being alleged. He was charged in the state courts, no doubt. But the crime that they're alleging that is the bump up from the misdemeanor to the felonies is a federal crime.
No, you're just wrong on that.
Dom, you just read it to the man, did you not?
I read the federal crime from the Cohen that he was prosecuted by the SDNY. The SDNY did not choose to prosecute Trump.
So, Gerald, you're saying they're not alleging the same underlying crime that Dom just thought he hit a home run with?
A state version of the federal crime, Gerald. Is that accurate?
That's right. Yes.
Thank you.
And actually, the intent to falsify, to commit fraud, which is the first crime, with the intent to commit election fraud, is the basis of this case. And of course, none of us know what the final result will be. It's based on a factual assessment by the jury. Yeah. But Dom does understand the case correctly. And
do you think that's been proven, sir? Because I listened every day of the testimony and I watched the transcripts as they were coming out live. And you think they proved the underlying crime that bumps it from a misdemeanor to a felony? And you think they connected Donald Trump clearly to that crime?
I do. But it's going to be up to the jury, 12 people, to listen to. Look at the transcripts, go over their notes, to do a methodical deliberation of all the evidence, which includes 20 witnesses, including Michael Cohen, to look at what Robert Costello said, which was the defense case, along with one paralegal, and to listen to the instructions of Judge Marchand, and finally come to an application of the law to the facts, to decide whether he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Gerald, as I understand it, the prosecutors actually put three potential crimes out there. They didn't even land on a singular crime. And as they are going through, and I'm just going on some of the reporting I've seen today, as they're still trying to figure out what the charge to the jury will be with the judge and the plaintiffs and the prosecutors and the defendant's jury, defendant's attorneys, are arguing about what are we going to do, a check the box, what the crime is. If this was laid out so specifically and clearly as you and Dom seem to think, sir, why would we be going through this in jury instructions?
Jury instructions always involves a contest between the sides.
Sure,
in terms
that part
of
I understand,
Gerald. Analyzing what the appropriate way to instruct the jury is. Judge Marchand listened to both sides about their views on the instruction, and has made some decisions, but is going to articulate what his decisions are tomorrow, we expect.
Gerald, do you think there should be a unanimous decision from the jury on what the underlying crime that bumps up this from a misdemeanor to a felony?
Yes, but New York law doesn't even require that the second crime be proved by beyond a reasonable doubt. It requires that there be that be proved to be the reason for the initial fraud. And
excellent explanation, Gerald. I'm sure there's more you'd like to tell us, but we're out of time for now. More Devil's Advocates come right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home?
California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates Radio Show. Join the political party on the lines or texting at 844-967-2789.
Tom, I want to reference reporting at Politico. I want to quote my source clearly and accurately. This was updated on May 13th of 2024, and we're talking about the charges, and they talked about the strengths of the case and the weaknesses of the case. And here's what Politico says is a weakness of the case. And this would seemingly contradict what Gerald just said. Elevating the business records charges into felonies by linking them to an underlying federal election violation. Now, that's what you said, Dom, but Gerald said, no, they're state charges. Not to my understanding. They're trying to say that a federal charge is the reason the state charges bump from misdemeanors to felonies. And that, according to Politico, is a novel legal theory, meaning hasn't been used before, that would test the interaction of state and federal laws. And I have no doubt that Michael Cohen was convicted on that and multiple other crimes, although even in the testimony he gave, he was still refuting whether or not he was guilty of all the crimes that he pled guilty to. I know he was charged and convicted because he pled guilty to the federal elections crimes, along with tax evasion and some other stuff that had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Sort of a catch-all. They said they had charged his wife. He did also testify to that fact. It was plead guilty or they're going to charge his wife with tax evasion. And he said, that's why he did it. So I'm not saying he didn't commit that crime. I'm just saying his motivation as related during his testimony in the Trump, Trump trial was basically he wanted to keep his wife out of prison. This was his criming, not his wife. So anyways, I'm not saying that's not what was proven. That's what he pled to. He was convicted on the federal crime. The federal crime, which is not clearly alleged, but is spelled out by the prosecutors, is a federal crime which bumps state charges up to felonies if they've proven it, which Gerald, and I do understand Gerald, they don't have to prove the underlying crime. They didn't even charge the federal crime, right? They don't even have jurisdiction to charge the federal crime. But you've got to convince that jury that you've met that standard or the felonies don't hold up.
Well, certainly. I mean, you have to convince the jury regardless. So that's why we're here. Let me ask you this, Curtie. I mean, I get the point. But do you think it should be illegal for people to engage in this kind of behavior to keep information from the public in the midst of their own election? I mean, it violates the limits.
Is it okay if it's campaign limit to keep your stock value from plummeting because some bad news might get out to corporate America about your actions, some employee,
Those are different laws. I mean, they're talking about campaign laws, not, you know, publicly traded. Is it privately traded? Is it publicly traded?
But
talking about bad analogies, man. That's that nothing to do with campaign finance violations.
But my point is, I'm trying to make the analogy, Dom, that simply paying someone off to keep their mouth shut in NDA is well established under the law, right? Sure. In a business context, that's perfectly acceptable, which would have a financial motive, which could be things like stock price. But you're telling me that if the same interaction happens during an elective campaign, that must be paid for with donor money? I mean, what if it's not a contribution? What if the private party reimburses a guy for making the payment, doesn't want to be embarrassed, makes the payment, gets reimbursed by the boss? Is that in and of itself a crime? Well, when you go and commit the secondary crime of claiming it on your taxes falsely, that becomes a bookkeeping crime, which been proven.
If it's on the books and was pled guilty to by Cohen, obviously that's a crime.
He was differently motivated.
But the motivation is irrelevant to this, man. You can pay someone to do... Yeah, what? Really? So okay.
When you give a catch-all of five different crimes and also say you're going to charge the wife and throw her in prison, the guy says, okay, I'll plead to everything.
I mean, prosecutor squeezing a defendant. Okay, yes, and?
That doesn't mean you've proved the same crime against the next guy.
The crime that Cohen pled guilty to, he was a proxy for Trump in that regard, Curtis. They violated campaign finance laws, period. That's it. You can pay someone. The circumstances could be different. You pay someone to keep the mouth shut, or you can bribe someone. Both of those things, an NDA or a bribery, can be considered. Well, I'm just giving money to someone to do what I want them to do. In one circumstance, it could be a totally legit NDA. In the other one, it could be considered bribery. So it depends on the circumstances and the laws.
What draws the distinction for you, Don?
The fact that in this particular case, the fact that the guy, Donald Trump, was running for president, pulled the trigger, did this transaction after Hollywood, yada, yada, yada. We know the backstory, man. They revived this thing. They made a point to it that was specifically to impact the election. Are you going to tell me that you don't believe for a minute that Donald Trump and this whole catch and kill scheme was started in 2017, man? This was what they were going to do. And then comes out, we're going to
buy it. But it's not the action of suppressing the information. That in and of itself is not a crime. You can suppress bad information about the candidate. That is not a crime.
You can't pay more than $2,700. If the effort is to do that and you pay more than $2,700 for election.
Is she running? Is that a campaign contribution to Stormy?
Is it a it's a campaign contribution to Trump.
Well, you've done a better job of tying that together than I feel like the prosecutors did.
I guess I missed my calling. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you are up. What are your thoughts today?
Yeah, part of this here is, didn't Donald Trump book those as business expenses rather than personal expenses, using the money from his company to pay off these things, which clearly is unless the company's actually paying, they consider that a business expense to pay off the major stockholders' misdeeds. I mean, that's part of this as well. I mean, that the whole purpose was to deceive. From start to finish, the whole purpose was to deceive and end.
Trump was willing to pay her cash. Trump made the statement. He's on the tape saying, let's pay cash. Cohen said, no. I got a different plan.
If he's on tape saying paying cash, then that clearly indicates he wanted to...
Is there something illegal about paying cash? If Donald Trump had made a direct $130,000 cash payment to Stormy Daniels, I don't think there's any crime.
That had to be federally reported, though, because that kind of cash flowing back and forth, at least in drug crimes, they bust people in drug crime.
It's a business transaction.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Ticket campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Ticket runs through June 2nd. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. With the unofficial start to summer this weekend, Clean Lakes Alliance will kick off its 11th season of monitoring the Greater Madison Lakes. Starting Thursday, lake users will once again have more information about how to find the best spots when planning their visits. Water quality volunteer monitors will dip in their turbidity tubes to measure clarity for the first time this season and upload their data to the free Lake Forecast app. Each volunteer water quality monitor takes temperature readings as well as water clarity measurements. Additionally, monitors upload any visual water issues that may be observed at their monitored site. Lake Forecast also includes beach closure notifications posted by Public Health Madison and Dane County and Wisconsin State Parks. Lake users looking for this data can go to lakeforecast.org or download the free app in both the Apple and Android app stores. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
I'm Pete with 60 Second Showbiz Beat. And in people who do desperate things because they haven't had a hit record in years news, Kid Rock pulled a handgun out and started waving it around during an interview with a Rolling Stone reporter. According to a tweet from Rolling Stone on X Twitter, during the interview, Rock got more and more drunk and belligerent as he spouted racial slurs and shared what he thought was wrong with America, like immigration and the fact that no one buys his music anymore. And how come there aren't any more trust fund kids who change their names to make themselves more manly? As he left the interview, Rock, formerly known by his real name, Robert James Ritchie, asked the reporter to write a horrific article about him, saying it helps him. Rock's last top 40 hit was in 2008 and was a song that sampled three other songs. You can see why Robert James, probably RJ to his friends before he became famous, might seem a little testy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the low 50s tonight. Sunshine for tomorrow, maybe a late day storm and a high in the mid 70s. More rain possible Thursday night and Friday. The wind starts to pick up as well. It cools down to the low 70s for a high. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to answer your questions. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. I got to come back to the John Edwards for just a minute. This is the only parallel case, presidential campaign. Guy has an affair, uses donor money to pay off the mistress who eventually fathered a love child with, apparently. Almost $1 million in donor money. Campaign finance, violation. Seems very clear, right? Well, he went to trial on federal charges. And the only charge that the jury could come to a conclusion on, the only one they didn't hang on, was whether or not he violated campaign finance charges with donations exceeding $2,300 at the time. That was the only thing they acquitted him on. And I'm saying there's a lot of parallels between what is alleged against Trump, what the prosecutors are supposedly using, a federal statute that Cohen was convicted of, along with other charges, which, if you believe Cohen's side, he only pled guilty because his wife was going to be charged with tax evasion. So he took the whole ball of wax and he pled guilty to all of them. And by your logic, and it makes sense, Dom, if it's simple A to B to C logic, sure, it makes sense. Cohen violated federal campaign finance laws. He pled guilty, and he was doing so on behalf of the boss. But again, I would assert Trump proposed a plan that would not have been a specific violation of campaign finance laws. If Trump used personal resources to the tune of $130,000.
Okay, but he didn't.
But he offered to, and
but he didn't. It doesn't. Okay.
But now you got to prove that Trump wanted Cohen to violate the laws. And I'm not sure that that's happened, Dom. Again, I'm not sure that they've proven the overarching federal elections crime. And if Trump had a rationale that would have solved that problem and his own fixer said, no, I got a better idea, I'll pay her and you can reimburse me, and that's what he did, well, you haven't proven that Trump was in on the crime, that he wanted that criminal action to happen. Because
so
he
then
had a
totally
different plan.
Disregarding David Pecker's admission as well and their media company, that they did this in behest and for Trump. You totally throw that out.
Well, David Pecker may have violated campaign finance. That may be a violation on David Pecker's behalf, but he's been given amnesty for his testimony. He's not at trial either. The only guy at trial is Trump here. Not whether or not Cohen violated laws, because he was convicted.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this is a lot more convoluted than you seem to think.
I think you're making it more convoluted than it needs to be. The charging statements from the Manhattan DA. Number one, quote, defendant Donald J. Trump repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to conceal criminal conduct that hid damaging information from the voting public during the 2016 presidential election. Right?
I have no doubt that he cooked the books eventually and paid Cohen back because we saw the checks with his signatures. What I'm doubting is whether or not you've proved a clear finance violation when Trump offered to pay Stormy cash and Cohen said, no, I got a different plan. And by Cohen inserting himself in the middle and paying.
If I may, Michael, that wasn't Stormy. That was the playmate. The recording is of Cohen talking about the playmate, not Stormy Daniels, which was done 12 days before the election. The whole thing was done for the election. They cooked up the catch and kill scheme for the election.
David Pecker was never reimbursed. David Pecker ate that $150,000.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. One component of the scheme was that at the defendant's request, the lawyer who worked for Trump, Lawyer A, covertly, again, this is Cohen, we know this, right? The participants took steps that mischaracterized for tax purposes the true nature of the payments in furtherance of the scheme. I guess I'm not clear what you think has not been specifically
the scheme
articulated.
The criminal scheme other than the cooking of the books. Now, if he wasn't running for president and the same circumstances happened, do you think Donald Trump is charged with 34 felonies? Meaning, if he paid off
a
porn star
for president, right, but he wouldn't be in violation of campaign finance laws if he wasn't running for president. And your other
John Edwards?
Edwards, thank you. Your comparison to that. I don't remember. It's been a while on that. But he wasn't running for office at the time, correct?
Yes, he was. He was running for the presidency of the United States. It was the most parallel example ever.
At the during the time of the payoff.
Yes.
He was, okay.
All right. He's running for president. He paid off his mistress with donor money, $1 million. The only charge he was acquitted on was the federal campaign finance excessive campaign donation limits. That's the only one the jury threw out.
From the charging document, after the election, Trump reimbursed he reimbursed Cohen. At first, through a series of monthly checks, first from the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust, a trust created under laws of New York to which the Trump Organization entity assets after the defendant was elected president, and then from his bank account, each check processed by the Trump Organization, and each check was disguised as a payment for legal services rendered to a given month, 2017, pursuant to a retainer, quote-unquote retainer agreement. So you think all this is just, what, circumstantial?
No, I didn't say it was circumstantial. I think there's clear evidence that they cooked the books. What I don't think the prosecution ever got around to doing was clarifying the federal violation and proving it. That's the part I am very concerned about.
They don't have to. That is the other point. They didn't have to, as our caller Gerald said. And as
Gerald was also wrong about whether it was state charges or federal charges. So I appreciate the fact he's an attorney.
I mean, I don't know, man.
It's not his case.
Article, and it was there. I'm not clear that was a specific fact that was their reporting on.
I went back to find reporting that supported my clear understanding that they were using a novel concept, which was they're using state charges, bumped up the felonies, but the underlying alleged crime was a federal crime. If you listen to any of these yahoos, they'll point out the SDNY never felt the need to prosecute. And you can say, well, that's because of the catch and kill. And I've certainly made that assertion myself. But perhaps it's also about the unreliable testimony and the fact that the federal courts or the federal prosecutors had already bitten the bullet and lost and got handed their lunches on John Edwards, a very parallel allegation.
If Cohen goes to jail for the crime that he did for Donald Trump, don't all you have to do is prove, or at least convince the jury, that Donald Trump wanted that done on his behalf, as everybody is testifying to? Everybody else is lying? I mean, Trump wrote the checks from at least two, maybe three different accounts. They hit it. They did the books. They did it before the election. They did it in furtherance of the conspiracy to hide, to catch and kill negative stories during an election. And in every way, shape, and form, to deny the American people, number one, the ability to make an informed decision.
I'm not sure that part of it's a crime. That keeps saying it, and you keep reading it to me, but denying the American people of the right to know that Trump had an affair with Stormy Daniels, I don't think rises to the level of crime. You haven't convinced me. The prosecution certainly hasn't convinced me. Whether or not the transaction of money creates another federal crime, I'm just saying the last time someone got charged with this, they were acquitted. It was John Edwards.
844-967-2789. Let's go, Paul. You are up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. I happen to agree with, as much as I hate to, I happen to agree with Crudy. Hey, it's just...
Why do you hate to agree with me? I make a lot of good salient points some days.
Well, you do, but I just like Don better as well. Hey,
Understandably, Paulie. Understandably.
Yeah, he's really cool at parties. Not that you're not cool, but he's cooler at parties. And Mrs. Wiskel really likes him. Hey, if it only takes one juror, right, Crudy? Correct? Just one juror?
Sure. Only takes one juror to hang the jury on the charges.
Yeah, that's why I'm agreeing with you. And this is the last trial before the election. And once your theory comes true, that's wind in Trump's sails and an already close election. So I would say that he's going to shout this from the rooftops. And, boy, it's going to be something else here. You guys are going to have to be on your A game here in Milwaukee when the convention rolls around. So I agree with you, Crudy. And you guys, you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, Wisco. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak at least one more in here. David from Mequon. How you doing, David?
Hello, David.
Good, guys. Really quickly, Crudy, I actually agree with you as well. Dom, I'm just going to say a couple things.
Well, you got me nervous. If you're agreeing with me, I take Dom's side. But tell me why.
Okay, so basically, there's two things that this is lacking, big ones. First, it was an expired chargeable misdemeanor after 2 years that was roughly 5 years ago. That's number one. And then
Hang on, David. I want to explain that to me. What's your logic on that?
The misdemeanor statute of limitations have expired.
Yes. Right. So after 2 years, that misdemeanor expired, and that was now 5 years ago.
Now, David, I can speak to this.
Let me pause there. Now, my understanding of New York law is if you are out of the state, the time stops.
He was out of jurisdiction, David. So Trump technically made himself, continued the clock ticking because he moved out of the New York jurisdiction.
Now, do you disagree with that? It's one thing to not like that law, David, but do you concur that that is why this is able to be charged at this point?
Well, I mean, if it was to be, but it shouldn't be a felony. It was just a misdemeanor. That's all.
Right. That's why the combination of the two misdemeanors becomes a felony. So one, we agree that they have the right to bring the charge because the statute of limitations pauses once the defendant leaves the state and starts up again once he goes back. So we concur on that.
From what I understand, that's never happened in the history of the United States.
That's happened, David. People have had statute of limitations extended for a variety of "quote unquote technicalities," but being out of the jurisdiction is hardly a technicality.
It was a federal misdemeanor, and now we're charging him with a state felony. I mean, that part's true to my understanding,
David. The alleged underlying federal crime is also a misdemeanor, but because the cooking of the books is done in furtherance of a crime, which happens to be a federal misdemeanor, that bumps all of the underlying charges up to a felony. And that is a novel concept.
So the one thing, I guess my question to both of you is this. So on the stand, Cohen admitted that he stole, what, $30,000?
Times two, 60. 60 grand, actually, David. One out of every $7 involved in that transaction was directly stolen by Cohen.
So is he going to get zapped now with the felony, or did he get immunity?
I mean, he's already served time, and he was there as a subpoenaed witness. The fact that he admitted to larceny, I believe that what the charge would be, that would be a more substantial crime, what he admitted to on the stand, than any of the underlying crimes that Trump is charged with at trial.
Okay.
Yeah, that might twist the jury a little bit. I mean, I definitely thought that was a big deal, and Todd Blanche would have been smart just to end with Michael Cohen bringing on Costello to make Michael Cohen look good by comparison. I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, right.
So it wasn't a perfect match played by the defendants. But, David, I don't disagree with you. When one of the witnesses confesses to a greater crime than the defendant sitting in the chair, and he hasn't been charged with that crime, I got to wonder what I'm doing ruling on the other guy.
That's exactly my point.
Well, David, the point is that Cohen isn't on trial. And my understanding is the prosecutors were aware of the theft prior to it. So they played their hand the way they did. And the defense probably could have taken them to task on that, chose not to. And not only did they miss an opportunity to get into Cohen about, $1 of every seven, they also, brought Costello on to make Cohen look good. So that was bad. But David, it's not just Cohen. It's all we've had 20 days of trial, man. We had Pecker up there. We had Hope Hicks talking. We had other people coming and talking about how this whole thing went down.
I'm just not clear that any other person corroborated the actual underlying crime that Trump is supposed to be connected to. If your only connection is Michael Cohen, who's robbing the guy he's also testifying against, I'm just saying you're going to get a twisted jury. Come back, more Devils.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
DevilRadioSwag.com.
You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt in Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too. Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at HerbalAspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
Contact D&T Pump and Well for well service and pump replacement. It's springtime and D&T is scheduling spring and summer projects. Mary and Derek, owners of D&T Pump and Well, are insured and do new installs, and they fix existing systems including submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Pump and Well at 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocate.
My cherry pie. Cool drink of water. So sweet.
And here, I thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocate. The radio show phone lines open. Go in there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the jury is in. Crudy loves cherry pie. And.
Yeah, we know that.
Nikki Haley will vote for Donald Trump in 2024.
And there's your VP?
Doubtful.
Come on, man. Who else is getting any she got to bring her voters, man. She pulled 20% like in Indiana or something. She wasn't even running anymore.
I have no doubt that would be the strategic choice. I think she is not sufficiently loyal. From Trump's perspective, you know what I'm saying.
You would even say that. This kind of goes to show you where that party is.
844-967-2789. Dynamo Dave is in Duluth, Minnesota. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, about 4 weeks from now is the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair in your guys' backyard there, Madison, in Amherst, Wisconsin, not far from Stevens Point. I wonder if you guys could make a broadcast from there.
What is it, Dynamo Dave?
The Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. It's been going on for many, many, many years.
I've been. Crudy likes solar. I like PV solar, dude. Yeah, are you going to be there, Dave?
I'll be there. I'll be looking for both of you guys.
Is it over a weekend, Dave? Because Stevens Point is actually near my cabin. I might actually go up there if it's a weekend.
It's Friday, June 21st, Saturday, June 22nd. This year, there is no Sunday one. So it's just Friday. Well,
Dave, we're going to have a conflict on the 22nd because Dom and I are doing the naked bike ride in Milwaukee.
Well, they're bikes. So that's energy friendly.
You guys.
Well, part of that is a protest against petroleum and non-renewable stuff. So, Dynamo Dave, you should be proud if we go streaking on our bikes that day.
And body positivity.
I will be proud of you. Yes.
Any other political thoughts today, Dave?
Photos.
Remind me, dude. I might go. But any other political thoughts?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, one thing I want to ask you guys. You know, there's in back here in Minneapolis, there's a civil lawsuit against that Derek Chauvin. Some woman filed a lawsuit, $9 million. I was wondering, can cities take out like insurance, civil or liability insurance, so they're not always having to pay out these big, huge things through taxpayer money?
I'm not clear. Milwaukee seemingly takes them out of their general budget, and they've had a number of payoffs. They had a former Bucks player. Mm-hmm. They had the family of Dontre Hamilton, who was a guy that got beat to death in the park for no apparent reason other than he was sleeping on a bench. There's been a lot of police violation of citizens and suspects. Yeah, there's been a lot of payoffs mm-hmm. from Milwaukee specifically. And they all come right out of the budget, yeah. Dynamo Dave.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. Dontre Hamilton was shot in Milwaukee by the police for sleeping in the park.
Cities segment that out of their budget, say, okay, the police department, it's going to come out of their budget, and then they have to then train their officers so that they're not going to have to allocate in their budget for these civil lawsuits or these lawsuits going against them. You know what I mean? So it's not hitting the whole city's budget.
Well, Dynamo Dave, that's where the whole defund the police came from. And unfortunately, at least as a rhetorical tool, it hasn't really gone the way we would hope. Defunding mm-hmm. the police, I would say demilitarizing the police would be a good start point. I don't think the police officers yeah. should have a tank. I'm just saying, Dave. If mm-hmm. I can't have a tank, they should not have a tank.
Yeah. What does the ACLU say about having own your own tank? And
you know, my understanding is the gas mileage quite low on the tank.
Oh yeah.
But do you remember about a decade ago we had former Madison police chief Koval?
Oh, he loved that thing.
And they got themselves their new armored vehicle. And he said, no, I'll think of it more as like an SUV on steroids. And I'm like, that thing's a tank, man. It's literally a tank. It's an armored vehicle. Do we have that much call for armored vehicles in Madison?
Doesn't tanks ever hurt, you know, and they shoot the shells? I mean, this thing isn't shooting shells. It's not a tank. It's an armored vehicle, man.
Oh, let's just call it an SUV totally on steroids. Yeah. Did it have truck nuts in the back? Because otherwise it's not a real recreational vehicle.
That's a great look.
Now, what say you, Nikki Haley, does she think that Trump is going to be exonerated at trial? And now, before the verdict, is the time to get out front and let people know nothing this man could do will lose her vote.
Welcome to MAGA. Trump, guilty by Friday. Next week.
Rich, here's the problem, man. When you play the cherry pie song, there better be some cherry pie.
Yeah, man. He's in withdrawal right now.
I'm not quite ready to abuse the radio and say, someone please bring me cherry pie. But if it happened,
you need it,
I'd be eternally grateful. It's like that day the girl said banana bread and there was no banana bread.
And there was banana bread.
But when I did ask for the cookies, then the audience rose to that occasion over the course of weeks. If I could only have cherry pies all summer long, Door County preferred.
Oh, now you're picking.
Well, if I can choose.
I mean, may as well throw an opinion out there.
844-967-2789. A happier happy hour. Locked and loated. You know, Joe Biden wanted to kill Trump.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I heard that.
It must be true. They're talking about it on the Fox
he's
News.
He's got unlimited liability, so what's the problem?
Presidential immunity.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Matt Rothschild will be sitting in the hot seat. He's got a couple of special guest lineups. You're not going to want to miss it. And I'll see you Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats.
Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.